In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
It begins with a flash of light. No, not the universe. Human life. Scientists have filmed the very moment when a sperm unites with an egg and there is a visible flash of light. When the two unique DNA strands embrace one another to create a brand new human life. Itself a unique set of DNA that will never be replicated. No matter how many sperm unite with no matter how many eggs, that human life that is created at that moment in that flash of light is unique in the entire universe. It has never existed and never will again. Democrats think that they're the party of science. They think that they're the party for the people, but they're not. And no issue shows that more so than that of abortion and the creation of human life. If Democrats believed in science, rather than only believe in science that they can use to further their beliefs, they'd be awestruck by the marvel of that unique creation, a creation which practically borders on a statistical impossibility. If you believed in people, why would you just throw away, murder, something that is so unique in the universe that it could never be replicated, and all the potential that life brings with it? The Democrat Party does not believe in science. Democrats believe in their beliefs, and no amount of science or reason will shake them. But that doesn't mean there isn't hope, because feelings and perceptions can and do shape beliefs. Such is the case with the story of Abby Johnson, a director of a Planned Parenthood clinic who had her beliefs changed by seeing with her own eyes a baby who had survived an abortion, a baby who was struggling, fighting for its life. And in that moment, that chance encounter, that baby changed her life forever. While that baby didn't live, it may have saved countless others as Abby Johnson now fights to end the horrific practice of abortion, including allowing her story to be told in the movie Unplanned. Let's hope that Democrats can have their eyes opened. And yet to listen to their leaders, they are disturbingly hungry for blood. Listening to the Democrat candidates for president is like listening to the priests of Moloch, hungry for more child sacrifices. It is disturbing to hear them defend killing babies outside the womb. Babies who have survived, babies who are completely physically detached from their mother, and yet it should be the mother's choice whether that baby lives or dies. If that is your belief, you don't deserve to be anywhere near a position of political power where you will be in charge of people's lives. No one should trust you with their lives if your beliefs embrace death rather than life. In a way, today's show is all about beliefs, but not just what you believe, it's how your beliefs shape your actions. And how your actions reveal your beliefs. We'll be talking with Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life, and we'll be talking with James Herson about the Hollywood elite who believed that they were better than everyone else and their children deserve better treatment and special privileges than the rest of us. And here again is the soul, if it can be called that, the soul of the Democrat Party and socialists. One set of rules for the leaders, another for you. One set of justice for the political and social elite, another for the rest of us. Don't claim you're for science. Don't claim you're for people when everything you believe and do says the exact opposite. And it's time the rest of us wake up to that. I'd like to welcome Kristen Hawkins. She is president of Students for Life, the nation's largest youth pro-life organization with over 1,200 chapters all across America. She's taken some time out of her busy schedule to talk to us from a car parked outside the White House, where later today she'll be joining President Trump for a signing ceremony for an executive order protecting campus free speech. How exciting is that? Kristen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I'd like to start out by discussing that new movie that is set to hit theaters next Friday, March 29th, Unplanned. According to IMDb.com, it says it is as one of the youngest Planned Parenthood clinic directors in the nation, Abby Johnson was involved in upwards of 22,000 abortions and counseled countless women on their reproductive choices. Her passion surrounding a woman's right to choose led her to become a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood, fighting to enact legislation for the cause she so deeply believed in until the day she saw something that changed everything. As I mentioned, a baby who'd survived an abortion fighting to stay alive. So what can you tell us about this story? Do you know Abby Johnson?
Yes, I did know Abby Johnson. She's a good friend.
Did you get any insights into the movie at all?
Yeah, it's a great movie. I've seen the movie in December in New York City with some friends who are working on it. And so, you know, we at Students for Life, we're actually promoting this movie, getting students out to watch the movie, especially opening weekends. It's so important during opening weekend to get
yes.
a high turnout
yes.
in the movie theaters. The more movie theaters will choose to screen Unplanned because, you know, Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry does not want this movie to be shown because this movie talks about the reality of what happens during abortion. Talks about the dirty business of Planned Parenthood.
Yes, and isn't it funny that somebody that wants to give women choices and such things as reproductive services like abortion, they suddenly get very squeamish when it comes to actually informing people about what exactly goes on during an abortion.
That's right. I mean, the only reason abortion still exists in America and is still legal in our country is because it's done behind closed doors. If abortions
yes.
were being done out on the street corner every day, if when yeah. Americans turned on the nightly news and saw the broken bodies of 2,600 babies lying out on the street, they would be demanding that that their leaders do something about this,
yes.
end the killing.
Yes.
But abortion happens because it goes on behind closed doors.
Yes. Yes, happens in secrets. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I think this continues the conversation that's been going on over the last few months, not only about abortion, really, but about babies being born alive after an abortion, and they're not just
yeah.
some blob of tissue. This is a conversation that actually started several years ago, but came to a head since the release of those investigative videos that showcase the truth of selling baby parts. I mean, that's the thing that I think gets lost in all of this, is that Planned Parenthood not only advocates killing babies, but even strong-arms women to even get an abortion. Talk to us about that last part, how they're out there really advocating and really kind of twisting women's arms sometimes to get an abortion.
Yeah, I mean, these are abortions that are happening every day. And I think sometimes that we like to think that abortion, it's only done in the first trimester, but it's not just the case. There's over 12,000 late-term abortions that happen in our country, abortions that occur after 20 weeks when a child is scientifically proven to feel pain. And Guttmacher, Planned Parenthood's own research arm, has proven that the vast majority of these abortions are done because of fetal abnormality or the life or even health of the mother. And so you saw, you know, with the infanticide vote here in Washington, D.C., just where the Democratic Party is lining up on this issue. We've had a failed vote already on the pain-capable unborn child protection after 20-week abortion ban act. Thankfully, we have states, though, that have risen up to kind of talk
yes.
about this and really become start to lead.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, there's a lot of good news on that front, and we'll deal with that next. Stay with us. Lots more with Kristen Hawkins. And welcome back. We're joined today by Kristen Hawkins. She is the president of Students for Life, the nation's largest youth pro-life organization with over 1,200 chapters all across America. You can find out more about them by heading to studentsforlife.org. And there is some good news out there with everything that's going on. And it seems like a lot of the news cycles has really been dominated by the bad stuff coming out of New York and Virginia and talking about this infanticide stuff. But there have been some recent court cases that have really been exciting. One is the Sixth Circuit Court, that overturned a lower court, which is now allowing Ohio to remove state funds from Planned Parenthood. It doesn't include Medicaid dollars, but all state dollars can now be removed. I mean, that's got to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And this is something that we've been working towards for years in the pro-life movement. We have these pro-life laws that are being passed in states across the country, and then the will of the people is erased because unelected judges who are in bed with Planned Parenthood reverse course. And we actually saw that. We've already seen that before in the state of Ohio, where a judge who was in bed with Planned Parenthood ruled against this similar bill when it was passed previously. He refused to recuse himself, even though there was a clear conflict of interest that happened there in Ohio. And so, you know, this is how time and time again the abortion industry supersedes the will of the people.
Yes. The other good bit of news is out of Texas. This is the fifth district court, which again reversed a lower court's ruling and lifting an injunction that was blocking Texas from defunding Planned Parenthood. The new ruling will now allow Texas to take away all public funds for Planned Parenthood, both Medicaid and state funds. So with those two victories to defund Planned Parenthood, do you think this is going to start overflowing into other states?
I hope so, and I hope other states will take notice of this. That they'll see that, you know, they don't have to be afraid to pass legislation, that they can actually, you know, stand up for themselves against the abortion bullies that are Planned Parenthood. I think, you know, sometimes we've seen even in states where they've said, well, you know, there's no point in passing this because it's just going to get tied up in court. And so that prospect, that fear of what Planned Parenthood is going to do is enough to, like, set is just enough to stop the momentum there. So I think it's important that we see these victories and that we continue to promote them so legislators across the country will feel emboldened and empowered to stand up against the abortion lobby.
Do you think that this will do that? I mean, that's the thing that we always get so frustrated with the Republican Party at both the congressional level, but certainly on states as well, is they just seem to be spineless sometimes. And you know, when you're standing up for life, you need a spine for that. You've got to have a little bit of bravery on your side. Do you think that these kinds of rulings will start giving them the spine that they need?
Well, let's hope so. I think we, you know, we have a continuous problem in politics about the spine of our politicians that we elect and their willpower to do the hard things once they get into office. I think a lot of times it's up to us to continue to push and to be a thorn in their side, and to not let up on this issue, and to be that broken record for life, and to stand up for these pre-born baby girls and baby boys.
Yeah. Well, in that Texas case, there was actually a third bit of good news. In arriving at its decision, the Fifth District Court made a determination that the investigative videos taken as part of that Planned Parenthood sting, they found that the video was authentic and was not deceptively edited. To me, that's a huge step, a huge slap against Planned Parenthood, because a lot of people on the left, especially in the leftist press and Planned Parenthood itself, they're out there saying that, oh, these videos have been faked or creatively edited. But now other courts can use these as evidence as well.
That's right. The sad thing is here, it's too little too late, though, because damage has already been done. Planned Parenthood was very quick out the gate to condemn David's videos and CMP's videos, calling them fake. When we were pulling just 6 months after the videos were released, the majority of people who had heard about the videos said that they were fake. So this is something that, once again, the pro-life movement, you know, when these undercover videos come up, when these extra days come up, we have to be out there demanding that the news cover it and fighting back against this. Because Planned Parenthood was quick and fierce to make up these lies that these videos were fake, when in fact we know they weren't. I mean, investigations that were funded by the Alliance for Women's Freedom showed that the videos were not edited. Even the firm Planned Parenthood had paid to investigate the videos found that they were not heavily edited. But now, that, you know, this is years after the fact.
Yes. Well, there was so much that was shocking about those videos. I mean, the ghoulish notion that they're dismembering these babies and selling off their body parts. I mean, that alone was pretty shocking. And now you've added to that this notion that the Democrats in places like Virginia and New York are perfectly fine if you kill a baby that is now outside the mother's womb. I mean, that begins to be a real shock to people's notions of what exactly abortion is. I mean, it's obvious you can't be selling human body parts if the baby isn't human. I mean, if it's human, it's murder. Are you seeing that this is starting to have an effect not just with Republicans, but also really on the Democrat side? Because those are the ones that need to be converted on this.
Well, I actually see what you're going to see is Democrats are going to go to the extreme. Or actually, you know, New York, what happened in New York is going to happen in other states. Because they're afraid that Roe versus Wade is going to fall, and so they're going to low-hanging fruit. They're going to liberal pro-abortion states like Oregon to, quote-unquote, shore up abortion rights for when, you know, the day comes when there is no Roe versus Wade. And the decision of abortion will truly go back to the states and to the voters to decide how they want abortion regulated in their states. And so I actually think that you're going to see them, the other side, get more liberal, get more pro-abortion on this issue as they feel like their backs are being put into a corner. I think that's going to be a good thing for us, though. I mean, we saw the polls immediately after the New York legislation shifting largely in the pro-life movement's favor because people have no idea what the Democratic Party actually stands for when it comes to abortion.
Well, that's good news for America as a whole, but kind of bad for places like Oregon that, you know, if they do go more extreme, I mean, how awful for us or places like New York that become the states of death that are welcoming women from across state lines to come in and murder their babies. As far as America, though, you said that the polls are really starting to shift. Can you give us an idea on that? We got about a minute here with you.
Yeah, I mean, our poll that we released in January with Students for Life America showed that 51% of millennials opposed Roe versus Wade. 65% said they wanted the decision of abortion to come back to the state for Roe to be reversed. The Mars polling that came out at the end of January and then again in February showed more than 70% of Americans are against taxpayer funding abortion. They're against abortion after the point one child to feel pain.
Well, that is all very exciting. Kristen, I want to thank you so much for your time today. I know you're very busy today, and have fun at that signing ceremony.
Thank you.
Up next, James Herson for his Inside Hollywood look at the pro-life movie Unplanned, not to mention what Hollywood thinks of some of their own getting caught bribing their kids' way into college, and what is going on over at Fox News lately. Does Jeb Bush need debate questions? James Herson, next. Landmark Pacific is known for their outstanding steel buildings and general contracting. But did you know that they're also a fantastic choice to maintain your existing building? When new construction isn't an option, maintaining your existing pre-engineered steel building is absolutely imperative. Incorrect materials can greatly reduce the life of your metal roof. For metal re-roofs, repairs, or additions and remodels, call the experts at Landmark Pacific, 503-743-3256. That's 503-743-3256. I'd like to welcome now best-selling author James Herson. James, it's great to talk to you again.
Great to be with you, Mark. No slow news days, are there?
No, it doesn't seem to be, which is kind of nice from our standpoint. You know, sometimes it'd be nice to take a little bit of a breath. But, you know, you're in Hollywood, and we just got off the phone with Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life, and we wanted to get your thoughts on the movie Unplanned. In case people missed that previous segment, the movie tells the story of Abby Johnson, one of the youngest directors of a Planned Parenthood clinic, whose life was changed forever when she was confronted with what the horrible reality of abortion is. She actually saw a baby who had survived an abortion and was fighting for its own life. So much for that whole just a blob of tissue argument. James, what can you tell us about this movie and how it's being received in Hollywood?
Well, of course, the Hollywood community, the idea of pro-life is an anathema to the current community. I mean, I commend the people involved with Unplanned for making this movie, and it's truly timely at a moment in American history where we actually have elected politicians openly suggesting and openly legislating for a post-birth abortion,
yes,
which, of course, is murder. I happen to believe that abortion is murder, but I thought that even honest, decent people that are so-called pro-choice would not want to have a life terminated after the human being is born. We call that a baby. And so it's surreal.
Yeah.
And I think most Americans felt when they heard the governor of Virginia discussing this with such dispassionate tones that somehow a baby that's already born and crying and breathing, that baby would be the subject of a discussion.
Yeah.
Between the mother and the doctor, discussion being whether or not to terminate that child's life. That it's just frightening to me. And of course, we've had legislation voted against an unsuccessful legislation in our Congress labeled as anti-woman legislation, legislation that deals with rendering medical care to a human being after they're born. This kind of thing really is surreal. It's not something that I would expect a fantasy writer to come up with. And so I'm happy to see this movie. Now, one of the controversies involving Unplanned was the fact that it was given an R rating. And this creates a real conundrum, because the same people who want basically those that are under 17 have to get their parents' permission to watch this movie that informs them about abortion. They do not have to get their parents' permission to have an abortion.
Yeah, I
this
know.
Is the kind of, again, it's bizarre. The movie has, now I have a screener that I have not had time to watch, and I have to apologize for that. I haven't seen the whole movie, but I know from talking to the people that produced it, there's no profanity. There's no sex scenes. There's no violence. There is a lot more reason to give an R rating to a number of superhero films that do have gratuitous violence, or to some of these films, action movies that are rated PG-13 to get more revenue. So this rating at R to me was, in fact, a biased action by the Motion Picture Association of America that gives those ratings. And so I would hope that lots of parents allow their children, especially children who are old enough, to be out there hearing the propaganda from the other side.
Well, it would actually be really nice, in fact, if some enterprising teacher managed to show this at a high school.
Oh, that would be great. Knowing in public schools the stranglehold that the teachers' union has on teachers,
yeah.
I think a lot of teachers would be intimidated and afraid that it would endanger their longevity in terms of their career to do that.
Yeah, you would think so. So what do you think the chances are that a diehard leftist Hollywood liberal would actually go see this? I mean, they're open-minded, right?
Yeah, really. I know you're asking rhetorically, and the answer is no, they're not. And they're not well informed. These are the same people who are always pointing the finger at those who are right of center and claiming that those who are right of center are anti-science. They
right.
They point that finger because, oh, gosh, you don't believe in the scientific consensus of climate change. You don't believe that the universe is going to end in 12 years. And yet they buy the lies about human development science that are sold by Planned Parenthood and by other organizations that are pro-choice, that are an industry, and that we know from enterprising reporters that they're involved in the sales of baby parts. We have people like former Dr. Gosnell that engage in brutal, murderous activities. He is the most prolific serial killer in the history of mankind. I just think that they won't go see it because they're already wearing blinders.
Yeah.
I think that's it exactly.
Yeah, I think that's it exactly. Is they wear blinders on, and it's unfortunate, really, because who knows? If they were to go see this movie, maybe it would finally open their eyes up. Let's go ahead and take a break, though. We'll have more of James Herzen, best-selling author of Tales of the Left Coast. Coming back, we'll find out what in the world is going on at Fox News. And welcome back. We're talking today to James Herzen. He's a New York Times best-selling author of Tales from the Left Coast. You can also find out some of his really great writing that he has up on jamesherzen.com. We'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. So, James, what in the world is going on over there at Fox News? I mean, you know, Murdoch is stepping down and pulling back in a way. His son seemed to be picking up the pace, but I don't get what they're trying to do. I mean, their audience has been conservatives, and yet it's like they're poking the eye of every conservative out there.
No, it's true. And what you're really referring to is Jeanine Pirro, her show, Judge Jeanine,
yep.
Was suspended. And it was a couple days later, it was announced that Fox signed Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile, the same person who cheated and gave questions on a debate to Hillary Clinton during the primaries. But I do think, look, we've seen a change in Fox probably over the last 2 years, a very slow kind of change. The president has noticed it and tweeted about it. The weekend programming, not during prime time, but during the day, has become almost indistinguishable with MSNBC. It's gone leftward.
Yeah.
And during the day, the programming has gone leftward. And of course, Shepard Smith, who was already moderate, has moved completely into, he is synonymous with CNN now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so a lot of people have wondered about it. And in the backdrop, you alluded to this, really it's impacted Hollywood. Disney essentially, which already took place, purchased all of 21st Century Fox production facilities, television, film, animated production, all of that. Now, the television stations and the broadcasting system, along with Fox News and parts of Fox Sports, continue to be held by a new corporation called the Fox Corporation. And it's being run by Rupert Murdoch's oldest son, Lachlan. But the CEO of that corporation is James Murdoch. James Murdoch has been out publicly saying that much of the programming on Fox embarrasses him.
Mm.
And all you need to know about James Murdoch is his wife. I believe her name is Catherine. James Murdoch's wife works at the Clinton Climate Initiative. So she's not just left and liberal. She's an activist liberal. And you add to that some of the patterns that we've seen, and the fact that Rupert Murdoch is phasing himself out. Lachlan is probably the main reason that the prime time on Fox News continues. But all three of the hosts of primetime have been targeted by Soros-funded Media Matters. They've tried to get rid of Sean Hannity, tried to get rid of Laura Ingraham. They're in process of attacking Tucker Carlson. And Fox has basically supported all of those personalities. I believe that if James Murdoch was in charge, any one of those could be gone.
Hmm.
And I do think it's not, as it often is in the world of media, profit isn't always the only motive. That especially when you get liberals in charge, we look at, for example, the ratings of CNN, which are horrible, continue to be horrible. And, you know, there's people anticipating that with that merger that there might be changes in the air. But Jeff Zucker is a guy that seems to survive with terrible results, who runs CNN. Jeff Zucker used to be involved with running NBC into the ground. And so could Fox literally change and become mainstream? The answer is yes. And
wow,
that's why it's terribly important for these upstart networks, you know, like Newsmax and Blaze, and One America News, and there's others out there. NRA has a TV station, TV network. That internet TV is probably going to replace cable TV, much, you know, and cause an upheaval, much like streaming has eroded theater going. So I think that the future is, you know, if I were to predict, there was a story that hit. It's totally rumor, but that, you know, supposedly Sean Hannity has told his friends that when his contract expires in 2021, he's leaving Fox News. Now, that could be real. It could be not real news, or it could be Sean's agent trying to negotiate already a record contract. But the fact that they would suspend Jeanine, by the way, what Jeanine did for this supposed, you know, what she supposedly engaged in Islamophobia was to ask legitimate questions about this congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, and her apparent devotion to Sharia law, and whether that's consistent with the Constitution of the United States. She asked a series of questions that essentially asked that question, especially since it started with the anti-Semitic remarks that Omar has made now repeatedly, and the Democratic Party has, with cowardice, backed away from condemning her, instead coming out with a resolution that condemns all kinds of bigotry, and especially white supremacy. And so what Jeanine did not warrant a suspension. And so Fox is already in hot water with its customers. The social media is full of people who are very upset, and she's still not back. So we're not going to know until the weekend whether her suspension continues or what she's going to do.
It is shocking that somebody would get suspended merely for asking questions about whether something fits in with the Constitution. I mean, she's a judge, for heaven's sakes. That's her bailiwick. I mean, those are the types of questions she should be asking. Let's go and take a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more of James Hurston after this. And welcome back. Continue our discussion with James Hurston. He is a best-selling New York Times best-selling author of Tales from the Left Coast. And you can find a lot of his writings that he does every week on jameshurston.com. That's S-E-N, jameshurston.com. We'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. So one of the reasons we really wanted to have you on was to talk about Hollywood spoiled brats getting caught. You know, they've got hit by all of this in the news cycles recently here, and the financial dealings that they use, and basically to bribe these schools to take their kids. I mean, that's got to really hurt that kid, you would think, to know that your parents think so little of you that you can't get into college on your own.
Well, yeah, no, and the Hollywood connection, I think, was part of the reason it got propelled throughout the media. But we have to understand, you mentioned those kids, the real victims are the kids of parents who played by the rules.
Yeah.
The kids of parents who thought, gee, I want my kid to go to this Ivy League school, so I'll have them, what do you call it? Study. I'll have them study, and I'll have them join, you know, be active in sports and music and organizations and charitable groups. And many of those who deserved to get into the school did not, because of these, as you call them, spoiled, privileged and wealthy people, most of whom are liberal, most of whom voted for Hillary Clinton, most of whom preach to us and pontificate to us the standards that we're supposed to live, and got involved in serious criminality. The interesting thing that I found, the connection, there's all these connections to film and television. Of course, the two most famous defendants are Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, both of whom made their fame through television shows. And this is so bizarre, but each of those shows had an episode in it dealing with parents trying to get their kids into prestigious schools and finding an angle to do it that wasn't based on merit. Mm. And in the case of Felicity Huffman, it is really ironic because it was Desperate Housewives' first season. An episode comes on, the 15th episode. she's trying to get her kids into a elementary school that's like a preppy school, and she's talking to her fictitious husband, and they decide they're going to make a donation to beat out the other kids in the amount of $15,000. When the indictment comes down, in real life, Felicity Huffman paid the exact same amount, $15,000.
Wow,
how? It's like, wait a minute, we have psychic screenwriters? What is this? And then Lori Loughlin also had a similar thing where they're trying to get into, I've never heard of this, but a prestige preschool. I think The Simpsons had an episode like this as well. And the prestige preschool would determine the rest of their life. And so Uncle Jesse, played by John Stamos, decides he's going to lie to get him in, pretend to be a diplomat in a comedic fashion, and pretend that his little twin boys who are preschool age can speak multiple foreign languages, play instruments. They're geniuses. And Lori Loughlin's the voice of reason and talks him out of it. But it does bring up something. If screenwriters who themselves are successful and privileged write about this, it's like it's a common event, bending the rules, getting around the rules to get your kid in schools, then it must be that way in real life. And most people were shocked by this story because they didn't even know about the legacy entrance into colleges that people like JFK Jr., George W. Bush, Jared Kushner, I could go on and on, people of wealthy families have gotten into Ivy League schools, not because of their grades. We've heard an awful lot about the grades of JFK Jr. and George W. Bush, and they weren't good. But they got in because their parents donated huge amounts to the school, and sometimes the parents were alumni.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, so
now we're learning about it's not just merit that gets people in, and we knew that with affirmative action, of course.
Yeah. Well, we know how people outside of Hollywood are looking at this, that it was the elites playing by one set of rules versus all the rest of us. But what was the reaction inside Hollywood? How did they view this scandal?
Well, when the scandal wasn't public, I'm sure the scuttlebutt among the privileged in Hollywood were like the scuttlebutt among the privileged of all the parents that got involved. They recommended it to each other. I mean, in the case of Lori Loughlin and Massimo, Massimo's almost worth $1 billion. He didn't have to do this. He could have made the big donation. But William Rick Singer, who planned this, probably told them, hey, this will be certain and it'll be cheaper. So they paid $500,000. And it turned out to be certain because he had this amazing network of corruption. And can you imagine this? He's bribing coaches at all these different schools. He's bribing proctors who oversee the standardized tests, having them change the test or have somebody else substitute on the test. How did he set this stuff up? Can you imagine his cold call?
Oh yeah, the schemes to all of this. Yeah, the schemes to all of this is just amazing.
So he said to a football coach, hey, you know, I know I've got this kid. He's really skinny. He's never been an athlete. He only weighs 133 pounds, but I need you to make him a football star. How would it be if I pay you twice your annual salary to do that? This is the kind of conversation that was really held.
Yeah,
and some of these coaches took it, and they're going to spend time in jail because of it.
That would be interesting if that's what happens here. But, you know, you're worth $1 billion. You could probably start your own university for half of that. But, you know, I think the really ironic thing about all this is the real scandal would have been if they had decided rather than go to college, maybe they should just go to electricians or plumbing schools. That would have been a scandal inside Hollywood. Right, let's take a break there. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with James Hurst and after this. And we're back, wrapping things up with James Hurst, the New York Times bestselling author. You can find out all of his books and his articles there on jamesherson.com. We'll link that up on ispyradio.com. And James, in this last segment here with you, I really want to talk about the fact that the Mueller report is coming due here, and but now they're changing tactics. You've got a great article up there about Nadler titled "Democrats Creep from Collusion to Obstruction." So what's going on here with Nadler? I mean, to me, it seems like they're just getting desperate.
Well, I think they know what's happening. You know, we've been told for a month about this. The Mueller report's coming on Friday. The Mueller report's coming next week. The Mueller report's coming. It's coming, but it hasn't come.
Yeah.
But, you know, Maria Bartiromo of Fox has sources that told her that the reason we're hearing that the Mueller report is coming is because the new Attorney General, Bill Barr, put the hammer down on Mueller and said, wrap it up.
Hmm.
And so he's doing that. And I think the president has probably been tipped off because he's saying, make it public, let's have the public take a look at it. There's nothing in there. And you notice that the rhetoric of Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff, who were chairman of the committees investigating the president, has shifted. And they're not talking about Russia anymore.
Yeah.
As have the networks that spend 24/7 bashing the president, MSNBC and CNN. They're focused on obstruction. They're focused on campaign finance, both of which there are zero crimes. No matter how you marshal those facts and twist them around, the whole Stormy Daniels, Karen McDougal thing, not Karen McDougal, McDougal thing has nothing to do with a campaign finance crime, because there's never been any evidence of campaign funds being used. And the obstruction cannot be obstruction, because the main argument for obstruction, there's twofold. One is that president obstructed justice by firing James Comey. Firing James Comey was doing a service to the nation pursuant to the president's constitutional power. And they also talk about the president's tweet being obstruction of justice. And that ignores this little thing, the First Amendment, which the president also has. Actually, the president has an even greater power of free speech, because the president has to communicate with the bully pulpit to the public and to policymakers, and so has a lot of latitude in his tweets. But that's not going to be obstruction of justice. So obstruction of justice, there's no evidence of that in terms of criminality, and there is no evidence of criminality in campaign finance. And if there's no Russia collusion, I guess then we'd have to conclude, well, there couldn't be an impeachment. But yeah, we can't conclude that, because there are some Democrats that have already brought forth articles of impeachment, and Nancy Pelosi can't stop it. If they have the votes to issue articles of impeachment, it'll go to the Senate, but the Senate won't have the votes to convict. And so it's all an exercise in futility.
Yeah, but it's just stirring up the pot and throwing red meat to their base, I guess. You mentioned that about the free speech there, and this from your article. Nadler opined that the president is guilty of obstruction of justice, citing the 1,100 times he referred to the Mueller investigation as a witch hunt. So having an opinion now is considered obstruction of justice? I mean, daring to criticize the government's action is now criminal. Did I miss the part where we became the Soviet Union?
Yeah, well, you know, we're on the road as far as the Democrat Party is concerned, and you're absolutely right. An opinion about an investigation or opinion about anything else from the President of the United States is protected speech, and he can do that. Their argument is that somehow his opinions intimidate the investigators, like that's going to intimidate Mueller's team of Trump haters, Andrew Weissman, which, by the way, Andrew Weissman has left the Mueller investigation, which is another sign, another tea leaf we can read that it's ending. But, you know, this idea that it's coming next week, that may go on for months.
Yeah. Probably be about 2024 before I finally get it released here. So the endless pursuit of Trump, if the Mueller report comes out and finds nothing, and these endless harassments of Trump, doesn't that turn more people against the Democrats than bring them over to their side? Or do you think most people just don't care? To me, it seems like it's a matter of fairness.
I observe the Democratic Party as doing everything they can to get President Trump reelected. And so does Politico, which had an analysis yesterday saying that President Trump is likely to win in a landslide. Just to give you one thing, we hear every one of these candidates saying that the existential threat that we must focus on is now not global warming now. They call it climate change. We must focus on that. And they recently did a poll. It was, I believe it's Gallup, and compared the percentage of people who think that an issue is critical and existential. And the number one issue was immigration. And 2% picked climate change. And yet, all of these candidates are constantly harping on climate change. So I think the Democrat Party are pandering to a tiny base of activists that are important in those early primaries. And they think they're going to move to the center after they do all this outrageous stuff. But candidate Trump will not allow that, because he will remind voters of all of these outrageous statements that the Democratic Party stands for: anti-Semitism, socialism, infanticide, open borders. And he'll do that every day if he can. And he will. They are so far out of touch. They've lost touch with reality. Now, they're in touch with the Hollywood liberal community and the media and, you know, the enclaves of Manhattan and Los Angeles and San Francisco. They're perfectly in sync with that. And they'll win in those
places. So apparently, if you can't win, you cheat. I'm just like, if you can't get your kid into college, you cheat. So, James, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating.
Thank you.
A reminder that the movie Unplanned opens this Friday, March 23rd. Since Hollywood decided to make it rated R so kids under 17 can't get in, it's a perfect opportunity to go and take a whole bunch of kids with you. It'll be a chance to talk about and show them the sanctity of human life and its irreplaceability. I hope you'll make time to go on opening weekend, because that's the weekend the production studio makes most of their money. And if Unplanned is a success, other studios will follow. And it's all about content. This generation doesn't lean towards socialism because of a few political commercials. They lean that way because of the content of the shows they watch. One day, wealthy conservatives will wake up to that, become the producer of a great 30 or 60 minute show. Let the Democrats run their commercials, which ironically will help keep you on the air. Think about it, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.